baby. We in here. Yeah, we in here. Cause we been. Y'all better get comfortable with saying black. We in here.
Yeah, we in here. Black versus the Board of Education. Cause we been here. We in here. Yeah, we in here. Cause we been here.
And you know that we That's why we are indeed a whole mood.
That's it.
Hello, hello, hello. And once we get on the screen, maybe I could say that. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Black versus the Board of Education. My name is Miss Laureen, and I am your hostess with the mostest. And I'm in here, and, you know, we're just coming from someplace else. So I feel a little discombobulated, if I can be perfectly honest. Melissa, we're feeling a little discombobulated today. And I don't know if it's because, I mean, is it just me?
No, definitely not.
So no, we're just coming from across town, Melissa. We're coming from across town, and we were in a 2 hour and some, what was it, 2 hours? A 2 hour and some odd meeting, an advocacy meeting. And when I tell you that it tapped on the very last nerve I had available, I'm just feeling some type of way. So with that, what I will do is I'm going to throw it to you so you can introduce yourself. And then we will go to the two that are sitting to my left and to my right. And we could get into this conversation. We are talking about hits and misses. And apparently we are going to be going through Oscars, and they're apparently still so white. And we're going to let Quinessa kind of guide us through it, because I think they missed a lot. They missed a huge opportunity to connect with some folks. But we'll get into that in a minute. So, Melissa, go ahead and just tell me how you're feeling. What's going on with you? Anything good? Tell me something good.
Okay. Hi, my name is Melissa. I am a senior in high school in Southern California. And some good news, I got a half tuition scholarship from USC.
A half tuition. I mean, they couldn't come through and bless you with a full one.
I was hoping for the full. I got the half. So that's something. So I've got a lot of options to consider.
Okay, because we're still working on you getting into that good Black Honors College here in Sacramento. That's so yeah. I'm gonna see if they can sweeten the pot a little bit. Okay. Maybe we can offer a full. I mean, did they offer a full yet?
No, they did not.
Oh, okay. That gives me some opportunity. I love it. Miss Quinessa, what's good? Tell me how you feeling, and if something good is happening. What's happening?
I'm Quinessa. I'm also feeling discombobulated. Trying to recenter myself.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about the Oscars. The Oscars are my Super Bowl. So I'm ready to get into this.
This is so funny because Adrian and I are looking at each other like, what? Adrian, tell me something. How you feeling? You know, what's going on with you? Something good at all?
I'm tired.
I don't know this guy.
I'm always tired, or today was just a different type of tired.
Like, what do you mean, like a different type of tired? How tired? Like,
it's usually car rides make me tired. Mm-hmm. I almost fell asleep in the car.
Well, because we did kind of travel a little bit in some traffic, though.
But yeah, that's it.
Okay, so Adrian's tired. You're discombobulated, just like me. And Melissa got good news. That's great. That's great. Because, y'all, as I'm driving, right, I'm looking at, first of all, when we were driving out there, I was thinking about everything that we have on our plate in terms of advocacy, right? And it seems like every week we get at least two or three more. And I was thinking to myself, when we're talking about hits and misses, right, there has to be something that districts are doing to keep making it so that we have to show up. What type of pattern are y'all seeing?
A lot of it, from my perspective, and I'm new to this, is that the districts have put rules in place, and then they aren't following that procedure. Mm. And then a kid kind of falls in the crack of where they weren't able to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, this kid is the disciplinary problem. But it's like, well, if you would have followed this, this, and this rule that you put in place,
mm-hmm.
then we wouldn't be here.
Right. And I don't know if it's even rules that they put in place. Apparently they don't read California law. there is a disconnect, right? There's a disconnect that I'm seeing, that they think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And then when we come into the room and we call them on their BS, then it becomes, well, we're going to move forward. Well, I don't know how you move forward when you didn't do steps A, B, and C, but you all the way over here at QRS, and I'm trying to get you to go back to the beginning. And it's just like, oh, well, we're just going to move forward. And we can't do business like that. Adrian was kind of sitting off to the side and he was taking some notes. Tell me some of the stuff he was writing down. Like, what were you writing down today?
I was just writing what I was seeing, what I was hearing, like noticing. I noticed they were scared of a child. Which
he's 12.
He's 12 years old, and they were scared of him.
They called like cops on deathly him. Afraid. Like, like he became like persona non grata in a matter of, I don't know. The principal described it as, oh, I love that kid. But then in the next breath, the VP called the police because they said the situation wasn't safe. And so now I have a 12-year-old facing a felony and two other charges for an incident that transpired on campus where he was attacked. And so I'm trying to figure out, like, you can't even make this up. This is Oscar worthy. Like, you can't make this up. The sheer incompetence that was on display today, and the fact that I had to argue for 2 hours to finally get to some semblance of restoring this child to dignity. I'm a little pissed off about that. I'm a little pissed off because I think that we as parents are doing our babies a disservice, sending them into hostile environments with incompetent staff who don't know how to treat them like human beings. It gets on my nerves. So I'm trying to woosah. And so hopefully with this topic, we're talking about hits and misses, the Oscars. I was going to look it up. Did Angela Bassett get an honorary Oscar this year, or was that last year?
I didn't see anything about an honorary.
I'm going to have to look it up again.
She did. I saw something about an honorary Oscar. I think it wasn't this month. I believe it was like maybe a couple weeks ago.
Okay. So she receives an honorary Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say boo, but
for,
I mean.
Was that for, what was that for?
Let me see. After nearly 40 years as an actress and 2 Oscar nominations, Angela Bassett has received an honorary Academy Award. She was honored Tuesday at the 14th Annual Governors Awards, a gathering of the Board of Governors of the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts, Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, which gives out Oscars. So they didn't even give it to her at the Oscars thing that they did yesterday. They gave it to her at the 14th Annual Governor's Awards.
I feel like this is how they keep that Oscar's so white commentary at bay.
Mm.
It's because last year at the Oscars, Angela was snubbed for Best Leading Actress.
Mm-hmm. Put that microphone in your mouth.
For Wakanda Forever, Jamie Lee Curtis got it. And I'm not saying that Jamie Lee Curtis didn't do great in Everything Everywhere All at Once, because she did. But Angela really deserved that Oscar, and there was quite a bit of pushback. And so to kind of hush that pushback up, then you get things like honorary Oscars. Like, well, why don't you just give her the Oscar?
How about that? I mean, that may have enticed me to at least watch her portion. Because I've never sat through an Oscars show. I don't watch TV, nor do I go to movies any longer. So I mean, you got to give me a reason to want to watch. And so far, out of my 45 years alive, I don't think I've ever had a reason to watch. What about you?
Yeah, same. I didn't even know the Oscars was going on. And then,
I mean, the title on the calendar meant nothing.
And I was scrolling, I seen, oh, and I clicked, and I just seen John Cena naked.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, this is the reason why I don't watch this.
I mean, there's some female fans that might disagree with you there. I'm not one of them. So you turned it on and saw John Cena. He was naked. You turned it off.
Yes.
Okay, so you watched the whole thing because this is your Super Bowl, and I don't even watch the Super Bowl. I watch halftime. If I turn it on at all. So tell me about it.
It was boring because the nominations this year were boring. The fashion was boring, and it was kind of a disappointment. I'm not going to lie. Oppenheimer swept.
Did you see Oppenheimer?
I did see. I saw Oppenheimer in IMAX.
Okay. Now talk to me. What the hell is it?
It's the story of the man Oppenheimer who created the atomic bomb.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And it's. I think there's a lot of controversy around it because they're trying to, like, he's a scientist and they're trying to kind of, they turned him into a war criminal. Essentially, they turned him into a war criminal because he almost blew up the planet.
He almost blew up the planet. Sure, let's do that while, you know, we're systemically involved in kind of two wars simultaneously. Like, let's go ahead and do a movie about a bomb. That'll get them. And then it swept. That's cute.
The movie was good. It was, like, I think all of the categories that it won in were deserved. But I think that made for the actual award show to be boring.
Mm. Melissa? Any thoughts?
I also saw Oppenheimer. I saw it because I remember in like my chemistry class, we did a segment on, you know, the atomic bomb and like the history and all of those things. And so I find history is pretty interesting to me. So I saw it kind of for that aspect. I thought it was a long movie. It was really long. It was long.
What's long?
Like longer than 3 hours.
Longer than 3 hours.
They didn't show previews because they couldn't because the movie was so long.
Yes. The movie was long. Yeah. So I went on like the Barbenheimer weekend. I saw Oppenheimer and then I saw Barbie afterwards. Oppenheimer, it was good. I'm into history, so it was interesting, but it was long. I don't know what categories it won in.
Sounds like all of them.
Yeah, I heard that it like won in a whole bunch of categories. I don't know exactly what they are. I'm pretty sure some of them were deserved, but I mean, I also don't watch like award shows, so I don't know like what the categories were, what they were, the movie was up against. But it was a pretty good movie when I saw it. I enjoyed it for the most part.
So I'm reading this thing. It says, award season is rolling into the final stretch, and with the announcement of the 2024 Oscar nominations, performers of color have a lot to celebrate. So apparently Danielle Brooks, Sterling K. Brown, Coleman Domingo, America Ferrera, Jeffrey Wright, and Lily Gladstone all snagging nominations.
None of them won.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. And they said, we have a lot to be proud of. And I don't know how many categories there were, nor how many nominations per category, but I know it was more than 7.
There's, most of the categories, there's 5. I think for Best Picture, there's 10 nominations.
But, you know. Divine Joy?
Is she on the list?
No. Who is a Divine Joy?
She was in, she won leading actress.
That's the black girl, right?
Yes.
She's not even on here. I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, I don't see it. That's very interesting. So she won an Oscar?
Yeah, she won leading actress, best leading actress.
Like during the awards telecast?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't see. Let me see.
No, not leading actress. I'm sorry. Supporting actress. Because Emma Stone won leading.
Okay. Yes, that's right. Performance by an actress in a performing role for The Holdovers. Did you see The Holdovers?
I have not seen The Holdovers. That's another thing, is they make the movies kind of difficult to access.
What do you mean? Like they only make it available in certain theaters?
Certain theaters, certain time slots, because they're more like indie movies, a lot of them. If they aren't like widely spread, then you can only see them in theaters for a limited period of time. And a lot of them aren't available for streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to watch them, you have to pay, you can't pay to rent some of them because I tried. You have to pay the full purchase price for a digital copy of the film.
You, what?
So like $20 for a movie I've never seen before.
Oh, okay. So it looks like a leading actor went to Oppenheimer. Actor in a supporting role went to Oppenheimer, Robert Downey Jr. Let's see. Achievement in cinematography went to Oppenheimer. Achievement in directing went to Oppenheimer. Achievement in film editing went to Oppenheimer. Okay. Oh my goodness.
I think they also
original score, yeah. Oppenheimer. And then original achievement in music, original song went to Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
Best motion picture of the year went to Oppenheimer. So it just sounds like Oppenheimer, like there was no competition.
Yeah. Well, there was supposed to be. I think people held Barbie to the same standard as they held Oppenheimer to.
A bomb movie and a fictional toy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But in these types of environments, like the historical movie always sweeps.
That's terrible.
It's boring.
And I think that we are going to have to, if they are, I mean, it sounds like the Oscars likes things the way that they are, because they've had multiple times or chances to kind of change the trajectory. Do we know anything about the people sitting on the selection category? Are they the same people running for office and occupying seats in the Senate?
I know that there are some like union actors that are in the Academy,
mm-hmm.
and then producers, directors,
mm-hmm.
that can be in the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it's a bunch of, from my research, and a bunch of old white people.
Oh, so I was right. The amount of people in the Senate in the United States in any position where they think that their opinion, it matters more than everybody else. Melissa? Any thoughts on that? Do you think it's just the same type of people over and over, you know, putting them? So I just think the Oscars are a way to pat yourselves on the back, like you're doing something. It's a bunch of attaboy awards, same old people. Anyway, go ahead, Melissa, what you got to say?
No, absolutely. That's why I don't watch award shows, because the same people win the same things, and not that those people don't deserve those awards, but you have to look who they're up against. And I mean, we just talked about Angela Bassett got an honorary Oscar. What is that supposed to mean? And you talked about her getting snubbed last year. She should have won. Like this is why I don't watch award shows. This is why I don't turn the TV on, because everything is just so irritating. You have the same old white people who are sitting in the Academy who are going to choose what they want to choose, or who are going to push what they want to push.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same people making the same rules for the same, just a different system. And when we talk about systems and we talk about chances for them to really showcase the best of the arts, they're skimping, I believe, on making things available to, or open and accessible to everybody. I would love to know what the ratings were yesterday, and I'm gonna look it up while y'all are talking. But you, this is your Super Bowl and you was bored. So I'm trying to figure it out. How does it make you want to watch it again? Like if you're bored, like I don't watch things that bore me.
I watch it with grace, because I feel like as humans, we have this like innate desire to measure our competency, mm-hmm. in things. And I feel like it within film and like that media,
mm-hmm.
awards like this are the general way of measuring our competency in these things. And so until they come up with a new way for us to be able to measure what is good film, it's like, well, what do we do?
I mean, do some else. So apparently there were 19.5 million viewers. I don't know if that's good or bad. If I would have remembered that the Oscars were coming on, I would have made sure to tune in afterwards, because I heard that my favorite show just came back.
Abbott Elementary.
Yeah. Shout out to Abbott Elementary. I heard that they came back and I missed it because I lost track of time yesterday. I'm not going to lie. So flashing forward an hour really messed me up, because I was trying to figure out how I overslept. And I couldn't for the life of me. I didn't understand that we flash forward. I didn't know we was doing that this weekend.
I didn't either.
So I'm behind the eight ball, y'all. So everything yesterday, I looked up and I said, why is it 10:44? Because I didn't realize that it was that late. So I missed everything. So I'm glad I missed the Oscars. I probably wouldn't have tuned in if I was present. But I'm trying to understand, y'all. So you bored yourself for how many hours?
I think it was on for like 2 hours.
Only 2 hours?
I think.
Oh, she bored herself for 2 hours.
Yeah,
she thinks
five to seven.
5 to 7. Yeah. That's what time it comes on at 5?
Yeah, well, I think it comes on Eastern.
Oh, okay. Got it. See, I told you I never watched it. So came on at 5 and you sat there. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's all I got for the Oscar show. So you share. What do you want to tell us, Quinessa? That's all I got.
Oh, well, I wanted to ask, like, you guys' opinion. Do you feel like it's a totally obsolete? Like, do you think award shows like this are obsolete?
We're going to throw it to Melissa first, and then we're going to go to Adrian.
I feel like that's so hard, because you talked about, like, how else would we determine what's good and what's bad? But at the same time, I feel like it's just so hard to measure, because you have to get perspectives and opinions in order to measure something. But if it's the same opinions and perspectives who are biased, then are the good films actually getting the recognition they deserve? Or are the people who are looking for one specific thing the same people that are going to say, well, these movies and films deserve to be nominated and they deserve to win? Like, at some point it becomes biased, and we have to figure out, like, are the films that deserve to win really getting the recognition that they deserve? And so it's a very complicated question with a very complicated answer.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I was thinking about it earlier, because it's all subjective. So I kind of look at it as I would look at the Grammys, where it's a bunch of people that we don't know, we don't see, judging based off what they see. And it's easy to look over the underrepresented. So for people who don't know our culture, why would they vote for it? So I do like the metric. I like having awards. Like, I think that's a good, I just don't know how you'd measure it.
So you like the idea of kind of rewarding somebody for their work?
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't know how to measure what?
I don't know how we would fix it unless it would be more diverse. I don't know. Or maybe be more open about who was voting for what.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see and we can judge for ourselves whether they're being biased or I don't know.
As a person who doesn't watch the Grammys either, I think the only way you can really measure that is by the people telling you what is good to them, by the people being able to cast a vote for what they feel is a good representation to them, not a committee of people who may have the same thought alignment. I think that you have to open it up to the people who are purchasing the music, the people that are attending concerts, the people that are buying the swag or whatever these people are selling. You have to open up to the people who are partaking in that medium to be able to accurately measure the impact it's having in society. That's just my opinion. But I don't watch that either. So what other questions you got?
I talked to them about this earlier, but do you feel there's a difference between movies and films?
Child, I didn't know there was a difference. I didn't Melissa's the artsy one, so we're going to kick it over to her.
Yeah, I do think there's a difference. I think that movies are, it depends. I think kind of movies are more entertainment, and like are the things that, I don't want to say that we enjoy watching more, but I feel like they're a little bit more entertainment, and films are a little more thought-provoking. And so those are the things that have like deeper meanings to them. Not that movies can't have deeper meanings, but films like are meant to portray deeper meaning than just a film that you're going to watch, a movie that you're going to watch just about friendship or something like that. Not that that isn't a great story to tell, but I feel like films have a deeper meaning and are built to, are created specifically for, you're thinking about it long after you've already watched it.
Interesting. Difference between films and movies, sir?
This is the first time I'm learning there's a difference between films and movies.
Okay.
Whenever I thought of a film, I would think like, I thought it was just like an old term for movie. Like, so the black and white,
or the thing you put in the projector.
Yeah, and then project on it, and that's your film. And then nowadays we have movies, but.
I thought movies were made on films. Like, you know, like you develop film at the dang on, you know, like I just thought that was what they were recorded on. So, I mean, I think about, and I don't really watch movies. I mean, I thought anything that plays in the theater was considered a movie because it's called the movie theater, not the film theater. And so I just have a very, I think a simplistic way of looking at art, and anything that's at a movie theater is considered a movie to me. And I think that everything can be thought provoking based on the topic and the material that is being portrayed on the screen. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All very valid.
Do you got another question?
I do.
Okay. Hit us.
So a new category for best casting was announced, and it will go into play in 2026. I personally feel like doing best casting is going to allow them to snub actors for best leading actor or supporting actor.
Okay, explain that to me. I don't understand.
So, for example, Rami Malek played, was in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie, and he won best leading actor. And a lot of people felt like his performance wasn't good enough, but they say that he won because he was cast really well in that role and he, like, played Freddie Mercury very well.
I mean, he looked like him. I mean, I did see that one. I didn't see it at the theater, but I did see that because Brandon put it on.
So my theory is, like, if Bohemian Rhapsody were to go up for an Oscar in 2026 where they had best casting, I think Rami Malek would have won best casting instead of best leading actor, because I think they'll use it as an excuse in the same way that they use best international or foreign film to keep foreign films from winning best picture.
Okay, so you think it's a way of them weeding it out so they can give that to somebody else they feel is more deserving?
Yes. But that's just my opinion. Do you have a movie or film that you feel had really good casting?
Yeah, Black Panther. I think that Chadwick Boseman exuded everything King T'Challa was supposed to be. I think that Michael B. Jordan played the heck out of Killmonger. I think Angela Bassett held it down. I think Shuri held it down. And I don't remember her real name, but the one that played Shuri, I think she held it down. I think that Nakia was excellently cast with, what's her name? The one that's dating Joshua Jackson or whatever. It wasn't Lupita Nyong'o. I think she was excellently cast. And so I think that they, I don't know what happened that year, but I think that, and I don't know if they won something that or at all or anything, but I think that that was excellent casting.
They won best costume design that year.
They did have some fire costumes though. Yeah, that was dope. Melissa, any movie best casting?
Not really. I don't really watch movies, like you were saying. I don't really watch movies, so I don't know.
Okay, so out of the ones
I honestly don't.
Okay, you don't have one?
Oh, girl. No.
Okay, Adrian, what are you thinking? Adrian agrees with me. And so, no, I'm playing. Go ahead.
I think another Chadwick Boseman, 42.
42.
I love that movie.
I think he was a great Jackie Robinson. I think Detective Stabler played a great manager from Law & Order.
SVU. Okay. Come on, Detective Stabler. Okay. we don't know his real name, but we're going to call him
Shout
Elliot.
Out the Jackie Stabler. Robinson.
We're going to call him Elliot.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite movies, so I like that casting.
Okay. Okay. What do you think?
Shout out Jackie Robinson Foundation. That is, now you brought that up.
I'm like, why are we shouting them out? Did they give us a check?
No, well, oh. I'm a Jackie Robinson scholar.
Okay, right on. So you got a check from them or a scholarship?
I did get a check
okay,
from
them. So yeah, shout out to Jackie Robinson. Okay, okay. To the foundation. Yep.
I think that Austin Butler as Elvis was pretty good casting.
Hmm.
So I do that.
I watch that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now you have to remind me, what year was that?
That was last year.
Last year. Did he win something?
He did not. He was nominated. He won a Golden Globe, mm. but he did not win an Oscar for it. He was nominated.
Now, just so I know, in that rendition of that movie, did they talk about how that man stole other people's music?
They talked about how he was influenced yeah. by it because he went to...
like a black church.
A black church.
If they don't knock it off. Okay. So they didn't say that he got five-finger discounts for his music.
They framed it as he was inspired by the black artists around him where he grew up.
Mm, he took that Hound Dog song specifically from Big Mama Thornton.
I think that she gave it to her. Or no,
ain't nobody give that for that.
Gave it to her, but he heard it at like a... somebody took him to a bar and he heard it there or something.
So, yeah. And he took it.
Yeah.
Okay. We just want to be clear, because I know that they do a lot of biopics, or what was that considered, a biopic?
Yeah.
Okay, so they do a lot of biopics and they leave out historical context of what actually happened, just so that they can continue to frame their heroes in the best light. But, you know, when we have an opportunity to correct some of that, we got to make sure that that's put front and center.
Did they correct it in the new movie? Did you see that one?
Priscilla?
Yeah.
I have not seen Priscilla yet, that's but I know, yes. So basically, they did Elvis last year, which is about him, but it's mostly about his relationship with his manager
mm-hmm.
and the way his manager took advantage of him. And then Priscilla also wrote a book and then has released a movie about their relationship and the way that she was kind of abused.
Is that on Lifetime? Is it at the movie theater?
It was in the theater for a very short time.
Really?
Now it's streaming on HBO.
Oh, okay. I just think it's very interesting how, again, depending on who you are and what it is that you're looking for, and that's why it's so important to know who these people are that are sitting on the Academy in the seats of decisions, because we need to make sure that it's just not one type of person. And I fear, based on some of these other systems, that it's exactly that, the same type of people. And even if there are a sprinkle of other folks up in there, they will be the majority and they will overrule or override any decision that somebody else makes that is contrary to what they think should be happening. And so I just, ooh. But yeah, I don't watch a lot of movies, and I hate to say that. I don't spend a lot of time just sitting around. And so if I go and see a movie, it has to draw me in, and it has to be important to, one, my culture. I have to see representation, and the story can't just be the same old, same old. that they like to relegate Black folks to. I don't want to see no more movies about no drive-bys, no Straight Out of Nothing. I don't want to see any Black women being portrayed as harlots or overweight Black mammies. I don't want to see that. And so I want to see some things that exude pride for our folks. I don't want to see another slave movie. I'm sorry. I'm one of those Black folks. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see us brutalized, beaten, shot, killed, maimed, hung. I don't want to see none of that. So I just decided not to watch any movies because those are the things that we tend to see us relegated to. I don't want any trauma, what they call it, trauma porn. I don't want that. I don't want any of that trauma stuff. We see that daily. And so anything that they put out in these theaters that you want to attract some folks, make it something that we can see Black joy. We can learn something historical that doesn't end in death or violence. Like, I just want to see something different.
Absolutely.
You got any more questions for us?
I do. I feel like there's kind of a rhetoric of of there being such a thing as a Black movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel Black movies are Oscar worthy?
Is my history Oscar worthy? Yes. By Black movies, I'm assuming they mean more than one Black person as a lead actor, or what are we talking about?
Well, what do you consider to be a Black movie? And then tell me.
Well, I would say the majority cast is Black, right? In my mind, I would say that folks would say that Black Panther was a Black movie. However, it was a comic book. You know what I mean? So it had a majority Black cast, but does that make it a Black movie? I don't know. Because I've never heard them say, well, this is a white movie. It's just a movie. So when it comes to Black people, it has to be specifically a Black movie? Melissa, thoughts?
I was going to say the same thing. Like, we don't hear it called a white movie. It's just a movie. So I don't know. I mean, if it's a good movie, I think it's Oscar worthy, and that should be that.
I agree. Adrian?
Whenever I consider like a Black movie, I would consider it as something that specifically talks about our culture, mm-hmm. or it's like, it's tailored towards Black people. Like, it's not just Black people in it, but they're talking about, it's something that Black people wouldn't know if they would watch it. If that makes sense.
You said you don't say that one more time?
It's tailored to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like Black people are in it, but it's the main idea of it is Black culture.
Mm. Okay. I mean, I think I can buy that. However, we know that we are one of the most copied cultures out there. So when we say that it portrays Black culture, are we saying that it transcends cultural lines, or are we saying it's just a great representation based on people's ideology of who they think we are? Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
I think so. I think it depends on who makes the movie too. Because
mm-hmm.
There is a lot of Black movies with white directors, and they'll portray what they think the Black struggle is, or what they think happens in Black households. So yeah, I think it's just about who directs it to.
Yeah. Melissa, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, because what you were saying, Miss Lorene, in that case, could we not argue that because Elvis stole music from Black people, like if we're talking about culture, we have to define those lines, as you were saying. Like, could we not mm-hmm. argue that if that was about he stole Black music, so was that not a Black movie? Like, we have to define those lines. I was just, what you said made me think about that.
I like that line you going down. I like that. I like that train of thought that we're going down, because if they take the culture and they replace the faces, is it not still a Black movie? Allegedly. What do you think?
That's a good point. Yeah, I agree.
Because would Oppenheimer have been different with Tyrone playing the supporting actor, or I mean, and I don't know the storyline. I'm not going to even sit up and try to joke about it. But if there was diverse casting, would it have made that movie in less likely to be put on a pedestal?
I think it would. I think that the people that they have voting would have said, well, that's not historically accurate. Oh. And they wouldn't have voted for it.
Oh, you think that?
I do. I think whenever there's a World War II movie, if there are people of color in it and they aren't delegated to where people of color needed to be delegated to according to history, they aren't getting the...
There are Black troops who have fought in every American war. So what are we talking about?
Well, Oppenheimer was a physicist. And uh-huh. So they don't think his team of physicists were like advanced at the college they were, like advanced students at the college that they were working at. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they would have had students of color in those classes. I don't think they would have allowed it.
Now, let me be clear, because I want to make sure that we talk in the same language. When you're saying students of color, are you specifically talking about Black students?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to be very, very specific, because I think that our language tends to get muddy when we're trying to be politically correct or digestible to the palate of other people. What we're saying is that because of systemic discrimination, that it is less likely that Black people were allowed to be in those spaces to then, if they were cast in a movie like this, it would not have not be seen as being historically accurate, because that is not where Black people were relegated to. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Because we got to be specific. I ain't about, you know, tiptoeing around no issue. So when we're talking about things being historically accurate, they never show the negative side of certain populations. And right now I'm talking about white folks. They never show the negative sides all the time. What they will do, and I'm a flashback, because I get pissed off every time I see people refer to the Ruby Bridges movie as something that was palatable. They dress it up. So they say, look how resilient this little girl was, but they never talk about the actual historical context of what that baby went to just to go to school. But they made a movie about it, and it's all fluffy and nice and has nice unicorns. Yay. No. And they add insult to injury every year when they go ahead and they do the Ruby Bridges Walk to School Day. That is an absolute slap in the face. And I know I'm getting off topic, but I'm thinking about the movie and it's pissing me off even more, because they have made it palatable, just like they made Martin Luther King Jr. palatable to the greater society. And then they give you movies and they prop it up as if, here's the story. Look, she was able to do it. She did so well. But they never send the National Guard to walk our children to school. And the racism is covert now. It was just overt back then. But the discipline numbers tell a specific story. And so we have empowered certain people to tell stories and narratives that make them feel better. And the moment you start to question their recollection of history, then they want to outlaw your teaching your children that. Shout out to Florida. They want to outlaw you being able to teach your babies the reality of what happened, not the story that they want to put out there and gave all these little accolades and awards to. Is foolishness. Melissa?
Girl, I don't have anything else to add. You said everything that needs to be said. I mean, like, especially bringing up the Ruby Bridges movie and the Ruby Bridges Day, the walk to school. Why? You don't want to talk about what happened, but you want to try and recreate it? Like, for what? To try and bring awareness to it? You can't bring awareness to something you're not willing to address. That's it.
Talk to them. Talk to them. And they make it palatable, right? And it's even worse because they got Black students leading the marches. The BSU's front and center. Everybody's taking this little photo op. But we're not telling them the truth of what happened. We didn't tell her that all the white parents pulled all their children out of the school and she went to school by herself for a year. Nobody's talking about that. The fact that the National Guard was activated to walk this baby to school because you had grown Karens outside and Billy Bobs threatening her. But no, let's make it a thing. Let's do it every year. Yay. Let's let the kids walk. Because the movie said she was resilient. When did we do that? When did we allow other people to tell our stories and to make light of them? And Ruby Bridges is still alive. Shout out to her. But what? When did we allow or we sanction these people at, I think it was a Disney movie, at Disney to retell this story and make it palatable so you don't see the viciousness of the same type of people that are running school districts today? When did we do that? And then I got to sit across from you and watch you cry because you're being called on your crap. Sorry, I'm still a little irritated from earlier. I'm tired of it. If I don't come in and I'm not capitulating or I'm not talking to you nicely, then you feel threatened. But the movie said that you guys, these movies gonna get these people toe up. It's crazy. I don't understand. Maybe I'm tripping. But I don't watch movies. No.
So you don't have a favorite movie?
I already told you. I love Killmonger.
Oh, that's Black your favorite?
Panther. Oh, yeah. That's why my car's name is T'Challa.
I didn't know it was a car.
Shout out to T'Challa's outside. You didn't see over on my ignition switch is T'Challa's mask? Uh-uh. I got to show you. Yeah, it's big time. That is one of my favorite movies because I think that Chadwick's character, Black Panther, was seen as the hero. But I think that Killmonger was trying to do the righteous thing. If you think back, T'Challa's dad killed his dad because he was trying to arm Black Americans to protect themselves from the tyranny that was going on in Oakland, right? He came and he killed him and he left the baby behind. So he had to learn to survive on his own. Now imagine you're surviving on your own, but your family is from this country that your dad told you was this great place to be, right? So by the time they find he makes it back there, he's already hardened because he had to deal or learn to survive. And he's like, basically, where were you? Why didn't you come back for me? But we made him the villain, right? Why we do that? And we made the person who's working with the CIA, basically a snitch, the hero. Where do we do that at? So if you ever see me and I'm walking around with a Killmonger was right shirt, I believe he was right. Now, the methods that he employed, right? We can talk about those. But was his cause righteous? I don't agree with killing a whole bunch of people. I don't even want anybody to get me saying that. What I'm saying is he had righteous indignation and he should have, because the people who were put there to protect him left him to fend for himself as a baby. There's this African proverb, a child who does not feel the warmth of the village will burn it down, right? To feel the heat. Something like that. I think I misquoted it. Child that does not feel.
That sounded
good. No, the child that is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel the heat, the warmth, right? And so when we talk about the way that we're sending our babies to fend for themselves in these hostile environments, that's what I see, right? We're going to create angry young people if us as adults don't go back in there and start to put ourselves in between them and the system. That's why I advocate. Straight up. Because we've allowed people to manipulate our emotions based on the story they want you to see. But they don't get you to use your brain and to see why did this baby become angry. Why did he think he had to go and learn all these mercenary skills to survive? Right? We don't think about that because the way that the movie was portrayed, we just have the hero and the villain who they chose. But if you take a step back, you're like, damn, he was right. He was right to be angry. His methods, like I said, we can argue it. Melissa?
I think you make a really good point. And I've heard you talk about this before. I remember like when I first joined VYLP, that was like one of the first things we talked about in one of the workshops that we did virtually. And I had never thought of it like that before. But I mean, I think you make a good point. And it's something that it's portrayed in this movie and it's a deeper meaning. And then we can like argue, is this a movie? Is this a film? Because if you, like you said, if we look deeper down into almost any movie, I feel like there's something really thought-provoking, and you made a really good point. And I feel like that can be, that point can be portrayed into the real world as well. And it is all the time. We just have to actually take notice of it and figure out who really is the hero, who really is the villain. It was a really great point.
Adrian?
Yeah, I just recently rewatched Black Panther. And when I first watched it, you know, of course, I was like, go Black Panther, kill him as a villain, kill him. But rewatching it, I was like, he made some great points. Like, and obviously, I think that's why they made him kind of more aggressive and angry, because I feel like they didn't want people to really be on his side.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to be overly aggressive and make sure to talk down to the people and kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they were afraid of people like just completely siding with Killmonger. But yeah, I was thinking that the last time I watched it, and I think they kind of tried to have some redemption at the end scene.
Mm-hmm.
For him, but they didn't have to kill him.
Well, he came back.
He came back?
He's in the second one.
I didn't watch
it. No. He was still in the afterlife, and they kind of, what is it, the heart-shaped herb?
Yeah.
She went through and she thought she was going to meet, was it her brother or her mother? But it ended up being Killmonger, right? But if you look at it and if you take a step back even further, what I see is the modern day portrayal of MLK versus Malcolm X. One is palatable. The other one was seen as a rebel who said by any means necessary. And so we allowed people to manipulate our emotions and tell us what we were seeing was that somebody was trying to avenge it. But if you listen to him, he told his father, you left him there. That was not right. And so we cannot cause trauma to people. And this is what I need people to understand. We cannot cause trauma to people and then dictate how they respond to that trauma. We can't do it. Whether it's manipulating their emotions, whether it's using a system or systems in place to abuse, you know, things that are put in place to protect people. We cannot cause trauma to people and then tell them how we expect them to react. And then throw them in jail when they react out of emotion because nobody spent the time teaching them how to respond appropriately. And we have to acknowledge that. And until we acknowledge that, we're going to continue to see the stuff that we saw today, where we got a 12-year-old facing a felony and two other charges because his incompetent administrators were scared of him. Instead of asking him what happened, they blocked his access to the school office to call his mother. All he wanted to do was call his mom. And they escalated a situation. And instead of them being able to have the skills to know how to de-escalate, they escalated. And then to add insult to injury, they called the police. Now, I don't know what's wrong with people or if there's a missing chromosome in their brain. But when you involve law enforcement with Black youth, there's a problem. There's going to be a perceived problem. I don't understand why people don't understand that. What say you?
I agree.
She said, I agree. Y'all just gonna let me sit on my soapbox. That's cool. I can do that too. because I'm tired of the foolishness. I don't want to see no more damn movies. I want people to get their stuff together. Because I spend a lot of time, like I'm still trying to calm my nerves down because it shouldn't have took 2 hours to get to what I asked for in the beginning. It shouldn't have took 2 hours for that. I ain't eat, so I was hangry. You know what I mean? Right. that hanger is something different, especially when, you know, and I felt like I felt my blood literally start to boil because I'm looking at this 12-year-old and I'm like, at what point did somebody see him as a threat to weaponize law enforcement? At what time? At what point did we start seeing 12-year-olds? And it's not like he had a weapon or he pulled a gun on staff. It's none of those things. He was just cussing. Now, if I had just been jumped on by two separate students and I was hitting my head, I might be cussing too. Matter of fact, none of that happened to me. I'm so pissed off, I might start cussing now. But I'm an adult and I know how to reel it back. But the fact that they expected this 12-year-old who was jumped on by two classmates to be able to have the skills that nobody taught him to reel it back, it's an injustice. Melissa, you get hit in the head, you going to say all nice stuff? You going to tell, please do some more? What are you going to say?
We're going to have a problem because we're going to have a problem. I mean, like, it's so simple. We're going to have a problem. And he did the right thing by, I don't know the whole story, but you said he went to go call his mom, right? And they blocked off his access.
He went to the office and they refused to let him in the office.
I'm calling my mom too. Like, me and my mom talk about this all the time. She's like, if something goes down, you call me. That's my first call. Before I can even react, I'm calling my mom. And so not being able to do that, I would go off too. And it would be a problem.
Adrian, if you're denied.
Yeah, I totally understood him when I was listening to the story and when I was there, because emotions are already a hard thing to control, especially when you're a kid. So when you're in the heat of the moment, everything's going down, you can't get to your mom, you're going to say anything that comes to your head or anything you know that will hurt someone else. Like, you're just saying words.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did a real disservice to him.
Now, let me ask you this. So just so everybody knows, when did they finally allow him to call his mother?
When he started hurting staff's feelings.
So not that he was jumped on. That wasn't enough to get him to call his mom. Not that he asked repeatedly. It was when he told them that the school was racist that they said, you need to call your mother. Why do we exacerbate situations and then put the responsibility on the children? I just don't know. So I'm going to try to calm my nerves down because it seems like we are almost out of time. But what I want people to understand is that the days of playing with our children are coming to an end. There are advocates out here that will step in front of the blows you are trying to put on our children. We ain't never scared. And it doesn't matter what school district you're in. We expect that our children will have dignity in school. We expect that adults will comport themselves like professionals and act like they got some damn sense. That's the expectation. I'm not going to continue to mince words, but I expect people, when they put ed codes or apply an ed code to a child, to know that ed code, to read it, to understand it, and to follow the protocols of notification. If you don't, there are repercussions to that. There's no reason that meeting went forward when the parent never knew what their child was facing in the first place. That was a violation of due process. So we're going to have to get it together. And for me, it doesn't take how long. Like I said, been doing this 6 years. I'm going to continue, God willing, for as long as he allows me to. But we're building a team, and soon enough here, they're going to learn ed code too. And you're going to have to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And so just putting it out there, we coming. And so you better be ready. And with that, we want to invite you back next week. We have Principal Ra, Compton's own Principal Ra. He's going to come through, talk to us about AI, about his program knowledge, about incentivizing students to stay and show up to school through cash for grades and some other amazing things. He's going to tell us what we need to do to prepare for AI, because AI is not going to replace humans. What's going to replace humans are other humans who have learned to deal with AI. And so I look forward to that conversation. So we invite you back right here next Monday, 4:30 PST. We are Black versus the Board of Education. We're going to hit you with the peace sign. Adrian's going to yawn in your face, and we'll see you next week. Peace out.
Bye.